Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levenstein, and welcome to a very special syndicated edition of Comic Timing. Well, this time we're going to be showing you guys what happened at the Comics Podcasting panel at San Diego Comic-Con. Specifically, it was the All-Stars of Comic Book Podcasting. And this was recorded and supplied by the generous folks over at the Comic Book page. John Mayo recorded it. Bob Raitel was on the panel. And it was pretty informative, in my opinion, the panel itself. Basically, just to run it down here, we had Ron from iFanboy. We had Jimmy from Comic News Insider. Pants, Brian Christman from Comic Geek Speak. Charlito from Indie Spinner Rack. Bob Raitel, as I mentioned, from Comic Book Page, and myself sitting there talking about comics and comics podcasting specifically. It's mostly a podcast-centric panel. There were a couple of, you know, mentions of, you know, the books that we like and, you know, whether we like indies, whether we like the, you know, more mainstream stuff, but we do stick pretty closely to the whole, you know, podcasting angle. So if that's not really your thing, by all means, we'll have a regular episode of Comic Timing out in about another day or two, actually, as Brent is finishing the editing on episode 93. So that will be released very, very soon. So I figured I'd get this one out there for you on our own feed, for those of you who are not on the Comic Book Page feed. And for that matter, please, give Comic Book Page your time. It's comicbookpage.com. John and Bob have been really good to me over the years, and obviously they've been on Comic Timing repeatedly, you know, since we've started, and it was really fun being on a panel with them again. I was on the panel 2 years ago, and you can find that in the archives for Comic Timing as well. That one was recorded by the iFanboy guys. This one was recorded on H2, so it's actually really good quality audio that was put together by John. So again, hope you guys enjoy what you have here. A reminder that the Heroes Corner submission deadline has technically passed with Heroes Corner, as they're about to switch over to the August previews catalog, which will be available hopefully within the next couple of days on the site. But anyway, just wanted to let you guys know about everything that's going on. We'll have a San Diego Comic-Con wrap-up probably next week. That would be episode 94, as I do have a couple of interviews that were recorded there, and I'll probably wind up recording some thoughts and opinions as well. Not entirely sure what the format's going to be for the episode. I believe it might be a joint venture between Geeks Unite and myself, as that's what Raph and I were talking about, possibly with a couple of guests involved. We'll see. I'll keep you guys posted. Also, just a heads up, if I do mention in the recording for that episode, you know, a dinner between Brent and myself, didn't wind up happening, didn't really work out 100%, but what are you going to do? Although it was amusing that it turned out Brent's actually staying in San Diego right now, the week after San Diego Comic-Con, and is staying at the same hotel that Brian Christman was staying at Comic-Con, and they wound up bumping into each other at breakfast, which was, you know, amusing. But anyway, I'm not going to take up much more of your time here. Here is the panel in its entirety, and once again, thanks to John Mayo of Comic Book Page for putting it together. So here we go, the All-Stars of Comic Book Podcasting.
Hello, and welcome to a roundtable discussion on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Raitel. In this episode, we're joined by other comics fans for some lively conversation on a topic we hope you'll find interesting.
Okay, what you guys are about to listen to is the All-Star of Comics podcasting panel from Comic-Con 2009. Now, Bob, you're going to be our representative this year, so do us proud.
Hopefully so. We're recording this prior to the convention, and what hopefully is going to happen is John will be recording the panel that you're about to listen to, and while we're having dinner with some of our listeners, he'll be formatting it, slapping this intro onto it, and getting it ready to post up on the feed, and cross our fingers, if all goes well, it'll be on the feed and available to you while John and I are still at the convention. The plan for this panel is to have Ron Richards from iFanboy, Jimmy Aquino from Comics News Insider, Charlito from Indie Spinner Rack, Brian Christman from Comic Geek Speak, and not sure if Ian Levenstein is going to make it on or not. We were shooting some emails around, but you'll know in a moment when you hear the introductions of the panel whether Ian made it onto the panel or not. But he was attempting to get on the last email thread that I saw. He's not in the program as I'm looking at it right now. This happened on Thursday, July 9th, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the San Diego Comic-Con. And that's about it. So join us in and listen.
Yeah, with that, we'll go to the panel. Please keep in mind that not all podcasts and not all podcasters are suitable for an all-ages audience. What you're about to hear is an unedited version of the podcasting panel. So sit back and enjoy, but this may not be suitable for younger members of the audience.
All right, hello everyone. How you doing?
Hey everybody.
All right.
How you doing?
All right, before we get started with the awesome panel of podcasters we have here, we have a guest from Tomorrow's Publishing. John Morrow is here. And John, do you want to step up and kind of tell the folks why you're here? Hey everybody. As he said, I'm John Morrow from Tomorrow's Publishing, and I'm here to shamelessly plug a book that I think you all will be interested in if you haven't seen it already. It's called The Comic Book Podcast Companion. This came out about, four weeks ago, something like that. It features behind-the-scenes interviews and commentary on all of the podcast representatives, I believe, with maybe the exception of one of them. Who will probably never forgive us for it, but...
which one of us? We're all looking at each other.
But in the next edition, the comic book page will be in there.
That's right.
Volume 2 will have Comic News Insider, Indie Spinner Rack, everybody, of course.
Yeah. But, you know, this... I've got to say, these guys, we have their podcast playing in our shipping room while our guys are shipping out orders all day, and so it's just... It's way better than having to listen to mindless music all day. It's always thought-provoking and gives us lots of stuff to talk about tomorrow. So, when Eric Houston came to us with the idea for this book, I thought, yeah, you know what? I listen to podcasts. I know a lot of other people do. Yeah, let's do the book. It's been actually a pleasant surprise at how well it's sold, particularly down at our booth right now. We brought a fair number of copies, and we've gone through about half of them already in one day. So, hey, thanks, guys. We appreciate it. So feel free, we're at booth 1301. Feel free to stop by and take a look. Don't forget, it's also got a nice section in here, tips about producing your own podcast, so you guys can put these guys out of work. So, but I appreciate the time. Let me plug the book.
Yep.
You got it. You got it.
But on the back cover, you have some colored pictures. And my head is cropped out of the color picture of the rest of the guys. Why did you do that?
You purposely did that.
Come on.
And the inside pages
okay,
are
when
blank,
he leaves,
right?
We can rant about it, all right? Just be respectful while he's here.
All right, cool. So now that the sponsor part of our program is over, let's get started. For those of you who have come to previous San Diego Comic Cons or previous podcasting panels, went over the years that we've had, you know, bigger groups, smaller groups. We've had some moderators. We've had some cool folks. We've done this panel a lot over the past 4 years.
4 years. Yeah.
So we're kind of winging it here. So bear with us. But we thought we'd get started by just kind of introducing each other.
Ron Richards.
Thank you, Charlito. So we're going to introduce each person on the panel, what your podcast is, assuming the majority of folks here know who we are, but if those who don't, we'll kind of recap that, what we've been doing recently that's, you know, kind of, that we're psyched about, and then from there, we'll just kind of talk a little, maybe take the questions from y'all and go from there. So, Charlito, why don't you
kick it off? Start. IndieSpinnerRack.com.
So, where's my Israel army? That's right.
We do a podcast about once every 6 months. Very professional. We usually talk to the people who a lot of you probably don't know because it's all about indies. Although we do have some great people that we've had interviews with. A lot of people's favorites are Jeff Smith and Alan Moore, and we've got to talk to some really cool people. And we cover the small press things and the zines and the small press fests and things like that, like Ape and Mocha and stuff like that. So
cool. And what have you been doing that's awesome?
Oh, geez. Oh, what a setup.
Look at that.
Okay, you guys will know why that's an awesome setup. Because we do a book. We started a book started out of the fans of our show called Awesome. It's the Awesome Anthology. See, look awesome. And the first one did so well, we gave a scholarship to the Center for Cartoon Studies, which is up in Vermont. It's basically like a comic book college. And we wanted to nurture the next generation of comic artists. So we came out with the next volume, which is Awesomer. It's Awesome 2, Awesomer. And it's full of awesome comics. And Jeff Smith did the cover. Roger Langridge did the back. We have Jeff Lemire, a whole host of amazing artists. And there's even a little mini comic inside. And this mini comic has the students from the Center for Cartoon Studies that will be eligible for the scholarship. So it's kind of cool. You get the up-and-coming indie artists, and then you get that. And it goes to a good cause, Ron. Thank you for asking.
Truly awesome.
Top shelf.
Oh, top shelf. That's right. It's at the top. Look at this. This is how bad I am. I will now finish as one of the presidents from the Hall of Presidents at Disney. It is at the top shelf. Boom. There you go. I don't know what booth number it is, though.
It's there.
Yeah. 1800. Sorry, guys.
Cool. I am Ron Richards. I'm from... Wait for it. And I'm from iFanboy. And iFanboy is a website at iFanboy.com. Obviously, that's been around since 2000. And we've been doing an audio podcast since 2005, and we've been doing a video podcast since 2007.
Woo!
And we have been doing writing on the website for the past 8 years, and it's a pretty cool community that we built up, and we're super excited. And we're making T-shirts, which I see some of you are wearing, which is awesome. Thank you. And we're just kind of three guys and our other kind of posse of writers that like to talk about comics. Pretty simple. And This book is truly awesome. Don't pick it up. You need to. Yeah. We don't do. It's awesomer than what we do. But yeah. So iFanboy.com, and that's it.
I'm Bob Breitzall from the Comic Book Page Podcast.
Oh, no, they're back to being polite now.
Free comics, compliment of Comic Book Page. These are good things too. Green Lantern Rebirth, Mighty Avengers. But anyway, we're all about comics, and coming up to the comic. There's so much media stuff. We have a new tagline, and it's all comics all the time. We're just comics. We just had episode 100. We do it every week, so we're coming up on our 2-year anniversary. And we do a weekly show where we review one Marvel, one DC, and one indie book. And we also monthly, with my co-host John Mayo over here, we do the Mayo Report, where we talk about the top 300 comics, and John with Chris Marshall from the Collected Comics Library talks about the top 300 collected editions. And we also do a preview show where we talk about what's interesting coming up in the comics. And what we really want to do, especially for indie stuff, is get people to go to their shop when it's in previews and tell the shop that they're interested in it, because a lot of things, if you wait until the week it comes out, it's not going to be in the comic shops if we didn't get those shops to order them. So let's try to pay attention when they're solicited so we can get our shops to get comics that are cool into the hands of more people.
I'm Brian Christman.
Pants.
Thank you. Or pants, if you will. Thank you. You got to do it in unison. 1, 2.
52.
Thank you. From the Comic Geek Speak podcast. We're trying to be a daily podcast, 5 shows a week. We try to do more recent books now, like we're doing Blackest Night, we're doing Captain America Reborn. We do Book of the Month, we do previews as well, we do movie reviews, we do comic reports, trying to do everything. We just got our own studio, so we're moving out of Brian's house, trying to be more professional.
Whoa.
Yes. And now we can actually, hopefully, eventually do shows more current, like actually on a Wednesday when new books come out on a Wednesday, because we've been recording usually 2 days before stuff comes out and it's not always current.
So we try to be more current. We've been doing it for 4.5 years. Our 5-year anniversary is in March when we're having our super show. We had a lot of people who've already come to our shows. Hope you come back 2010 to see us again. And I'm very happy to be here on the panel.
Hey, I'm Jimmy Aquino with Comic News Insider. We've been around since April 05. We do a weekly podcast about news, reviews, and interviews. And we sort of consider ourselves the Entertainment Weekly, sort of like a comic book podcast where we cover everything that's sort of related. If it's a movie or TV show, sci-fi, fantasy, we'll stretch it out too if someone's been in something with that realm. So we do cover a lot of TV and film as well. But we always review comics every week, and we have a lot of creators and artists on all the time, as well as, actors and, producers, writers, things like that. I'm pretty known for name dropping. You love it. And you're jealous, I know. And what else? Our 5-year anniversary will be in April, but we will not have a super show.
Oh.
But I'll be at theirs, because it's awesome. I will. It's really cool. But you can check us out, comicnewsinsider.com, every week on iTunes. Check it out. We're recruiting new people this year. I have Maria in the audience. She's a new CNI roving reporter, so welcome her. Thank you. And I don't have a book either, so whatever. All right, nice.
My name is Ian Levenstein from the Comic Timing Podcast. We've been doing Comic Timing for about 3 years now, and we're pretty close to episode 100 at this point. Episode 93 is getting released later this week, and this is 94 working here at San Diego Comic-Con, so, next couple of months or so, we should hit the big 100. Basically, we're a rotating panel discussion podcast. We're basically, other than me and my co-host Brent, who's out of Orlando, basically just have different people on each week talking about different topics in comics and try to keep it fresh, try to keep it new, and try to keep it fun. And, we have no set time limit whatsoever. So one episode could be an hour and a half. The next one could be, 3 hours. So listen to whatever you can stand. That's about it.
And, five minutes.
Yeah. 5.5, something like that. And you can find us over at geekspeak.com/comic timing. And obviously on iTunes at Comic Timing Podcast. So, yeah, Comic Timing. Woo.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, my co-host Joe Gonzalez is not here. He cannot make it.
Aw.
He's at home watching the kids, so.
What kids?
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for coming to the panel. It was a good time.
Make sure to tip your waitress.
Please buy me a drink if
we
you
have
know.
To, we have to ask each other questions now or something.
Yeah, well, Charlie don't watch the kids.
Okay. Where's the most interesting place you've had sex? While reading a comic book. How's that? I threw in the comic thing.
Well, it was Watchmen. And
I just did.
Okay.
Oh.
I mean, one thing that kind of strikes at me, like we were saying, how we've been doing this for a few years, and, CGS is on the, 500th episode or whatever?
Yeah.
Next week we're doing episode 666.
Oh!
Wow.
Evil.
Evil.
Ridiculous. So I guess kind of one thing, now 3, 4, 5 years later, what has changed as podcasting? Like, what have you learned from podcasting? Like, if you go back and listen to your first episode, which makes everybody cringe, like, are you a better podcaster? What kind of helped you talk about comics in a podcast form, I guess?
Want me to go first?
Go for it.
All right. Well, yeah, I am very cringeworthy listening to the early episodes, especially the pre-Pants episodes. There was about 2 months when I was just Brian, and then I became Pants. I'm more aware of actually people are listening. It sounds weird, but, we just sit in a room and just talk comics, and when you go out, people meet you and they listen to shows and they call you on certain things. Like, recently I said on the show that I'm dropping the Superman titles. And there was like a minor uproar. Oh, Pants, you're killing DC. What are you're going to go out of? You're not buying any more DC books? It's like, wow. Does it just need to stop and drive, buying a few titles? So I'm trying to be more careful of what I say on the show because I don't want DC to collapse or anything.
The power you will.
Yeah, like I'm not going to buy any of their books.
Well, I think it's interesting, and Pants brought up a good point, is that you get, the longer you're doing the show, the more you become aware of that people listen. And I always especially for the indie books. I mean, we're doing a different level of indie than you guys do. You know, indie Spinner Rack, indie, and then, you know, we're doing like, you know, Image and
Dark Horse
and Devil's Due and, you know, kind of the more major indie books a lot of times. And we'll go into other things, but just shining a light on some of those books. And when we have someone send us an email or go on our forum and tell us that they wouldn't have never picked up a particular book unless they heard us talking about it, that's actually good, because that's what we're all about, is introducing people and just talking about comics. Because each of us, John and I, read probably 120 different monthly comics each month. And they're not complete matches. They're more like this. So we read probably between us a good 160 or 170 different titles each month. So when we're looking at these books and we're trying to talk about a variety of books, we're really trying to just give a fan's view, because we're really fans of comics. We love comics, and we want people to kind of share that love of comics and just talk about different things that, you know, not everybody can get 100 and some odd comics every month. So we'll talk about it, and we always try to be very honest about a review. Some books we're going to like, other books we're not going to like, but we just try to say, you know, there is an audience for any book. Mostly when you don't like something, it's a personal preference, right? We try to point out what we did or didn't like about it.
Did you give me a gang sign there, Bob?
Yeah, it's a gang sign. Overlapping common sense. I'll draw a Venn diagram for you later.
Well, I think what's changed for us is that, and also me personally, is that while it's fun to interview and talk to, like, you know, celebrities and stuff like that, I really love when I discover, like, some random webcomic or some independent artist or writer at a show and fall in love with their work and their book and then talk about it on the show, get them on the show, and then get people to buy their book or check out their webcomic or whatever. And that's always just so very gratifying to me, because then I become friends with them, I get in touch with them, and they always feel, you know, like, oh my God, my, you know, listenership has increased, or my readership has increased, you know, by two because you said something. And so it's kind of nice. I mean, it's just kind of cool. It's a good feeling that, you know, you sort of help nurture some up-and-comers. So.
Well, yeah, and that's, I mean, based off that and Pants, what you said, I mean, like, the idea that more and more people are listening to podcasts and more people are looking to podcasts like ours for recommendations, and, you know, people tend to be, you know, they're hesitant to start reading a new book or to give something a try. We get the opportunity to talk about it, to promote it, and then, you know, hearing back from the creators at shows like this, mm-hmm. like, oh, so many people have mentioned that, you know, people bought my book because they heard it on your show or whatever. Mm-hmm. It shows really that you all are listening to us, which is kind of cool, because, you know, it's like, it was never intended that way, at least for us. Like, it was never, like, we're going to be, you know, like, a marketing tool for the publishers, but, like, that's kind of what we've become now.
That's really happening with each other, where I've listened to Indie Spinner Rack, and I'm like, oh, I should check that out, because they're talking about this person or this creator, or I'll listen to some other show. In the same thing, so.
Well, I think one of the things that I learned is that anybody can do a podcast, but not everybody can do a podcast.
Not doing well.
Actually, like, listen to or hear due to the equipment that you're using. Because like when I first started out, it was like a computer, one really really bad USB microphone, and like a Skype recording program. And when I listened to those early episodes, I don't know how anybody even started listening to my show, because I can't stand hearing it. But then, like...
Dude, it was rough, dude. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, yeah, no, it's true. It's okay, man. But, like, once you actually get equipment that I think really works for you and works for the recording of the show, then you'll probably feel satisfied with what you're putting out, and hopefully, you know, you'll get more listeners, you'll get more fans and stuff like that. So really, just get a system that works for you, and it'll probably work for your listeners, too.
Yeah. I've learned nothing. Wow, we've been doing this a long time, huh, guys? 4 years. It's crazy. Mr. Phil, my partner, lover, and actually, he's not at all. He's my partner on the show. What do we learn? Technology? Yeah, technology has changed. We now have these great little field mics we can take with us, which is fantastic, because when we first started, we had this giant board you had to take everywhere with you. So that's changed. I'm in transit a lot right now. I'm moving and doing all kinds of stuff, so we're going to be having some changes of trying to learn how to get a good show and be able to have our regular fun time on the show together with me being 1,000 miles away or whatever. So that'll be interesting. And
And we've learned a lot just about community, how like a podcast builds a community. It's really amazing how like you do this show and you're just doing it thinking, like you said, like you're just doing it for fun, and all of a sudden it becomes not only a marketing tool, but this like community center, like for, you know, that sounds like AA or something, but like it does. It forms around you. It's really amazing because you make friends and you meet people and you go to these cons and we all hang out, and it just becomes this bigger than kind of amoebic thing than you expected.
Yeah, we really, I mean, not just with our listeners. There's so many of us that are friends with our listeners, and there are a lot of them in the audience now, but we're friends with each other. I mean, there's certainly some rivalries, you know, little fun little rivalries, like I hate him to spin a rack. But,
totally does.
They're the worst.
Who reads indies? But yeah, I mean, like, we've all become friends, and we all, like, you know, meet up at shows, we all go, you know, hang out, do stuff, we support each other. If somebody, you know, I've introduced people to guests I've had on my show, they've introduced me to guests they've had on their show, yeah. And we've helped each other out that way. I mean, there's some that are exclusive, you know, but, you know. Nobody's getting Cassidy, sorry.
I don't want to talk to Cassidy anyway.
That's not what it says in your bio, sir.
By the way, I just saw a guy who looked exactly like John Cassidy in a Stormtrooper outfit earlier.
No, that's actually him.
Oh, that was him. Okay.
Yeah, he's deep.
Cassidy does like to go around a Stormtrooper.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I have stories and pictures.
Plus, putting like faces to names is really awesome, too, like with podcasts. Like, I mean, you'll talk to somebody online for years, and then actually getting to meet them at a con and be like, you have a face! Is an amazing experience. And I think if not for podcasting, I wouldn't have really started going to as many conventions as I do and actually getting to meet people and become like actual real-life friends instead of, you know, just an avatar and a forum name.
It's not just like, you know, local stuff. I mean, we've all traveled a lot. I went over to Bristol for the first time last year in England, and I had known a lot of the UK podcasters. Geek Syndicate is like the premier, you know, comic book podcast out there in the UK, and I stayed with Dave, you know, in London one night. He's, you know, we'd never met, you know, and I think he regretted it later. He woke up naked, but it was weird. We don't talk about that. But then I stayed with Rich and Iz, who are listeners of all of us, and now Iz is part of their podcast. She has Comic Racks and all these other, you know, great, great people. I met, you know, the whole QPOC guys. I met some of those. And, you know, it's just like, it's really worldwide. We have listeners all over the world, and you sort of befriend them, and, you know, they write in, they call in, or whatever. So it's really kind of nice.
Now, if only we could get any leverage at the con.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, who else had trouble just getting to be on this panel here? It was like the security guard stopped us trying to, like, but I'm actually on the panel. We don't care. All right, whatever.
What's the most, I don't know, what can we ask? I don't know what to ask.
Do you guys have any questions? Sea of hands just went up, so...
Dude all the way in the back?
People that are listening to this, just pretend. Yeah.
My question for Ron.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Already with a favoritism.
Bring it.
Already.
So a shill from iFanboy asked Ron who
exactly,
his favorite
yeah.
Shill.
He's got iFanboy tattoos all over his face. Look at him.
I'm really lucky because I have two of the best partners, podcasting partners in the world, Josh and Connor, and they're both equally annoying. So I can't choose between the two of them. So
if you had to choose just one.
One was going to die, and you had to save one.
If the rowboat only
Which
had
one?
The lifeboat only had room for one co-host.
Let's get them both up here and fight it out.
I want to see their reaction. No, I can't answer that. No, you can't answer. Well, I would let Mr. Phil die is my answer.
I'm just joking.
Not cool.
I'm joking.
Anybody up there?
Have you found that the attitudes of the creators and the creators has changed since you started the show?
No, they pretty much want to avoid us still.
I hate us.
No, I'm kidding. I mean, like, the thing is that there's definitely, at least in my experience, and not all of us do interviews. I mean, do you guys do interviews in your show?
We only do interviews concurrent with the preview show. If there's a particular creator who wants to come on, but we tend towards the indie creators. We don't really go after the Marvel and DC guys because they're covered all over the place by so many other podcasts. It just becomes redundant at a certain point.
Well, I mean, in my experience, correct me if I'm wrong, but like I think there's a grouping of creators who very early on recognize the kind of power of it, that these are people who are talking about it, and we're going to talk to them and be cool with it. Other ones have been more, not resistant, but just not, it's a new kind of thing. They don't really know what to make of it. I found that writers will talk for hours, whereas a lot of artists just they're just like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, like Jimmy Chung in New York, we had a 10-minute conversation, and I was like, oh, cool, do you want to come on the show? He's like, no, thanks.
Yeah. No, yeah, I've been told no just twice by creators and sort of bigger names, and one of them was just kind of, no, I'm not going to tell you who, but one of them was just kind of just flat out, not mean, but it's one up, and I really, really love it, love his, what he does, and really wanted to go. I'm like, oh, I'd love to get the show. He just went, no. I'm like, I know what to do. I was like, I guess I'll still buy your book. It was weird and awkward, but all right, great.
It's and, like, I just gotten okay with rejection after high school and everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's like asking somebody out, and then they say no. It's like, oh, okay.
Great. I'm going to cry in the shower and help myself. All right.
I'm not afraid to admit that the first like real interview we had on Comic Timing, I got schooled, and I mean completely schooled by the guy we had on. I mean, Evan Dorkin was the first official interview.
Oh, yes, that's a first interview. Yeah.
Why would that be your first one, sir?
Exactly.
Asking for it.
That was a learning curve. Wow. I mean, like, technically before that, I talked to Phil Jimenez before I even had a podcast, and that was a lot of fun, and I mean, he's a really inviting guy, friendly guy and all that. Evan Dorkin, he knows everything about everything, and because I'm a youngster and didn't know everything right away, he was like, you never heard of that? No? Oh, I just caught you in that, huh? Yeah? Great. And then we'll move on from there. But great guy and everything. You know, really fun episode. It's just that I look back on that as a learning experience because I learned, okay, if you're going to have somebody on, how about doing a little bit of research
first?
You know,
yes.
But before you immediately assume that you're going to know the answer to every single question. And I hope that I've learned from that experience over the years, as I'm sure everybody on this panel probably has.
Yeah.
Except for Pants.
Yeah, I've definitely, like, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll both, my co-host and I would get a little excited, like, oh, let's get this person on, and then we'll make a schedule, like, wait a minute, we should read something they wrote. You know, we should look and see what they've done and do a little research, and so we'll postpone it, and it ended up being one of our greatest interviews, I think, with Steve Rude. But I remember my co-host, you know, not calling, but he was so excited about getting him on, as was I, but I was a little rusty on my, you know, on my Nexus, you know, so I got the 7, you know, Dark Horse volumes of Red Hat, just read them in 3 days, and read everything, and I mean, research show. I knew, like, what colored underwear he wore. I just, you know, it was like, and we had the greatest time, and he had so much fun with us, but because we delayed it to do a little research. So, does anybody get to go over and talk to anybody, but have something to say, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of research, have you guys ever over-researched someone or had it backfire on you?
How so?
Well, with Jeff Smith, for instance. Jeff Smith, I was so excited to interview Jeff Smith, right? So I'm just, like, piling my head with Jeff Smith stuff. And, like, I'd never read Bone completely because I didn't want it to end.
Say his name again.
Have you guys ever done that? You read a comic and you just don't want it to end? So Bone was that for me. I was like, man, I don't want to read
it. So how far to the end did you get when you
started? I got about 900 pages away. No, I got about 200 pages away. About, I don't know what that
and
is.
You consciously said, I don't want
to. Yeah, I was like, I don't want to end. So then I finally was like, okay, I'm going to reread the entire thing the week before he comes to the interview, and then I'm going to read as many interviews as I can, and all this stuff, and I wrote it and typed it all up, and like 20 minutes in, I was trying to be so strict. Mr. Phil just looked at me and was like, let it go. And I was like, you're right. And so during the middle of the interview, I just crumpled it up and threw it out. So was anything like that happen, or someone... I don't know.
Well,
maybe
I think that happens
to the wrong person.
No, I think it happens a lot where, like, you do the research, you have your questions set up, but then it's a natural flow of conversation.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you'll just start talking and other questions will obviously arise in your head, like, oh, I'll ask this, I'll ask that, or whatever. So, I don't know if it's anything over research. You just need to not be an idiot, Charlie.
Yeah, it doesn't deserve a question, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess for us, you know, we will try to read it, and we're usually familiar with the creators, but what we try to focus on is, you know, talk about why this book is cool and talk about what kinds of people would like to read this, because every book is going to have some people are going to like it and other people aren't going to like it. So what we really want to do is have the creators kind of focus in on giving that elevator pitch about their book and talking about their book to build the excitement so someone's going to know, okay, yeah, that sounds like something that's up my alley. And, you know, we try to let the creator do as much talking as possible, and we'll just kind of steer the conversation. We don't always succeed, but that's the goal.
Well, I have a question for you guys. Like, have you ever had someone on, and, I mean, there's the thing, right? We're never here to, like, you know, break anybody or hurt their career. I don't think so. We certainly, there's no reason for us to. But has there anyone been some sort of controversy or something you really wanted to ask them, and you did, and how did they react? Do it. Say it.
I've had a couple of moments with some creators that they've actually gotten the moments gotten named after a specific creator.
Should we name them?
No.
Name it.
I'll name it.
But okay, just right now.
Dave Sim.
Yes.
Dave
Sim. Yeah. We had frickin' Dave Sim on.
I wouldn't sign the disclaimer. Did you sign the disclaimer?
I did not sign the disclaimer. Do you guys know about the disclaimer? Dave Sim sent a letter out to everyone he's involved with him, whether friends or business or industry, right?
Right.
And
if you want to talk to Dave Sim, you need to sign this legal document that states that you do not believe that he is a racist or a misogynist or anything like that. Which, now, I don't believe he is. He's just a little, he's interesting. But my question is that if you're just doing business with him and you've never talked to him before, and he goes, well, I need you to sign this first, what message does that give?
I always give something like that out.
Dude, I wrote a song for him.
Is that weird?
He, like, he's going to make me sign something?
Yeah. That song was awesome, by the way.
Yeah. It was all heart for Dave Sim.
But so there have been a couple of moments where I've asked questions to some creators on video, too, and so you can actually see it, like, in their eyes, which is kind of where I asked the question that I probably shouldn't have asked in retrospect. And it's happened a couple of times. Actually, the one I'll mention, which you saw, was in Baltimore last year at the Baltimore Con. I was talking to Brian Bendis. And we were just doing kind of we were reacting to the Kirkman Bendis kind of little feud thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we were talking about his books. We were talking about the Ultimate books. And he's going on and on about Ultimatum and Ultimate Spider-Man and all this kind of stuff. And I said, yeah, well, Ultimate X-Men was never quite that good. And and he goes, yeah, well, you know, it sold a ton.
Yeah.
And I go, well, Brian, sales don't really equal quality.
Ooh. Oh, no, you did it.
Snap. And he looked at
me. Go Barbara Walters. Right on.
He looked at me, and this is Brian Bendis. So, like, he's, like, one of my favorite writers and somebody who I really respect. He looked at me and just held it for a pregnant pause where he just... And then he just kind of, like, and then moved on. I was like, oh, shit, I pissed him off. And it was like, but, you know, but we laughed about it later.
Has he been on since? Have you guys talked about it?
Yeah,
right?
We're cool. We're good.
You're good?
Yeah.
I have one on the phone right now.
That's great. Anyone else have a story like that? Well, that's a good story.
Not as much like that, since we don't do as many interviews as some of the other shows, but I know that since we do as honestly as possible when we review comics, you know, we review the comic and we'll look at it and say, well, okay, out of a 5-point scale, you know, this was maybe a 2 out of 5, and that's just my personal preference. But then I feel bad, you know, if something comes up and it's like I gave a 2 out of 5 or something like that to, you know, Matt Fraction's Iron Man, which I did, you know, sorry, Matt. But, you know, then I feel kind of funny. It's like, oh, do you want to interview Matt Fraction about, you know, such and such? And I'm like, okay, you know, it's not the live reaction that you get, but it's similar because, you know, I've not enjoyed something that person did, but I
and that's,
really just try to, you know, that's how I felt about that particular storyline, and I'm not going to act like I liked it just so I can get an interview down the line or something.
And you should never do that. And for those of you who are podcasters and want to be podcasters, never kowtow to the publishers or to the creators. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, have it, you know, Matt Fraction or any other creator is a name that people will recognize, and like, and on the, you know, less hobby but more business side of things, you want people to listen to your podcast. Talking to Matt Fraction will help because people are into Matt Fraction.
Right.
Now, just because you're not into his stuff, don't do it just because, you know, don't fake it, because that will come through. But you can still talk to somebody and hear what they're working on without kissing their ass. Right.
Well, again, I don't think any of us are here to hurt anybody. Like, you know, when we review something, I don't think I've ever go, this is a piece of shit. Hey, you should burn it and kill it, you know? I mean, just what do we gain from that? Nothing. I'll just say, that's not for me. That wasn't my thing.
The one thing that we've learned is that if you're going to criticize something, you need to be able to back it up. You just can't say, this sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Why does it suck? What about it does it suck? Mm-hmm. What about it did you not like? Was it something storytelling-wise? Mm-hmm. Is it something with the art?
Right.
Was all this kind of stuff? And there can be the subjective, it's not for me.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is easy to say, it becomes a taste thing, but if you're going to criticize it, because if you go to cons, you're good chance you see that person, and they might have heard the review, and you've got to be able to back up why you didn't like it. If, you know, nobody's ever gotten in my face, but I've heard stories of it happening.
So, oh, really? And honestly, if you back it up, a lot of creators will simply just respect the fact that you gave an opinion on their book. You know, I mean, if you just straight out say, you know, oh, it sucked, why? Because, you know, and then move on. You're probably going to lose a little bit of respect, not only in their eyes, but maybe in your listeners' eyes, because you're not actually giving a firm opinion. Like, I think one of the most fun interviews that I had was with Dan DiDio over MegaCon, because it's just really fun asking him questions and then watching the runaround begin. Because
now, you know, it's all Final Crisis. You know, that's how we do it here, DC.
Exactly. But you know, like, I mean, even if you don't get firm answers from him, I brought up the $3.99 thing, like, about the prices going up, and he said, "Well, why?" And I mean, I actually had an answer for it, and we were able to move on in the conversation because of that. I simply said, "Well, I don't want to pay that much. That's why," you know, and just move on.
Because you're stupid.
Yeah, that's where the interview ends. You know, so basically, just back up what you're saying, and you'll probably gain respect because of it.
Hmm. Anybody else have a question?
Wow, we got a lot now. They're thinking.
All right, I saw you first.
With digital comics coming out, with especially this con, and they're actually starting to actually gain some momentum, I have in the back of my head RIA and DRM coming up somewhat in it, and I wondered what the panel might think about some of well, the way digital comics might be going, or how are they coming out the way you think they should.
Question, if anybody didn't hear it, was about visual comics. You're talking about...
Like motion comics?
Motion
you mean?
Comics, yeah. Digital comics. Okay. Digital, okay. Web, okay. On the web.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the digital form, what do we think of that?
It's.
Do you think that it would probably go in the route maybe of, okay, the RIA, we have to hold this license so,
well,
hard, so hard to it. We're going to put DRM in. You can't take...
I don't know what those initials
well,
mean.
I think what he's basically asking is like what happened with music was that the RIA was trying to stop piracy and they kind of put a foothold on it and music had a bad deal with going digital, stuff like that. Is that going to happen to comics? Can comics survive? Comics have to go digital. It just with the $3.99 price and the cost of paper and stuff like that, it has to go digital. So they have to figure it out. That's just the end of the story. The thing is, the important thing to remember is that people make these comics, they need to get paid, so they need to figure out a system of doing that. BitTorrent doesn't pay anybody. So I mean, so it's inevitable.
Trying to figure that out. Yeah. And this whole con, you're hearing a lot about digital comic companies. Chuck from Comic Related, what is the name again?
Comics XP.
Comics XP mm-hmm. is a reader. Longbox is a reader.
Yeah.
iTunes is coming out with a reader. Google is coming out with a reader. So it's definitely happening.
In the past month, I've had 4 companies reach out to us about our opinion of comics and digital comics and give feedback on their products and stuff like that, just alone.
Yeah.
Pants, you had something to say, sir?
Well, I was going to mention Longbox. Oh. I had a panel here about 5 hours ago, and they talked about it, had a display. So that seems to be it's like iTunes for comics, what they're sort of getting at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably going to be I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes.
Yeah, but and it's not going to go easy. I mean, we're going to have a couple of years of...
They talked about, other platforms and things.
Yeah, well, because the problem is that now there's like, what, there's a handful of companies trying to do it, and the only digital comic reader is going to be any good is going to be the one with the comics you want to read, and so unless Marvel and DC and Image and Dark Horse and Oni and IDW play, then it won't matter. So.
And you'll notice right now they haven't all signed on yet. You see a lot of mid-level and lower-tier publishers signing on, which is fantastic. We need that. But you'll notice that Marvel and DC, they seem to be sitting on the sidelines, kind of like, okay, we're waiting.
They want to have their own thing.
Or maybe they're doing their own thing.
Yeah, I think they're waiting.
Right.
Well, Marvel's been hinting a little bit. I mean, obviously, it was a little bit of a form letter, but I remember reading that someone actually, emailed Marvel's Digital Comics Unlimited, DCU, wonderful name, and actually asked them the question about, like, are we going to see some sort of reader for iTunes or whatnot? And they said, we can't really talk about anything yet, but look out there. As in hinting that there is something at least coming. What form it's going to be, whether it's going to be their own thing or whether it's going to be one of the ones that's already out there, I guess we'll soon find out. But DC still doesn't have anything online.
Right, which doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to.
It just means they haven't said anything publicly.
Yeah. Right.
Well, my thing about something in the digital comics is that I still have a tough time reading stuff online. I want to hold it in my hand. I want the visceral experience.
Ooh,
I want
kids,
the actual.
You get off, damn you! Give me my paper.
But yeah, I mean, it just depends on the format. Like web comics, I love because it's a straight across format. Even on the iPhone, some of those just flip it straight across. But when it's like even we get sent PDF files, where and as great as Zuda Comics is, and it is. Sometimes that is just like you're going up and down and moving stuff around, and it's a little tough,
Well, the problem is that by nature the comic book page is not what a monitor is.
Now. Right. Exactly.
Right. So like the question is that how are comics going to evolve to support that view? And some people love the little smart panel, like where you click and it goes to a panel. I hate that. I like to zoom in and move around
it too.
Yeah. So everybody's got all these personal preferences, so they got to figure out how do we do it to make everybody happy, which is never easy.
But I think that's part of it. I think that it is inevitable, as you say, that there will be digital comics. I don't think that that's necessarily the panacea for cost. You talk about $2.99, $3.99. A lot of the cost is what the creators make, and the creators are going to make what the creators make, whether it's digital or not.
Digital is the – but digital will be the – I mean, a book like Phonogram, one of my favorite books, is dead after this series. And their future is in digital comics.
Yeah.
Because they can create the book, they can make money off of it, and they don't have to worry about meeting Image's minimum and all this
right.
kind of
well,
stuff.
Or
Diamond's minimum.
Yeah, exactly. Because the changes with Diamond, now I'm ranting on the industry, but
But Chases and Diamond are killing the small publisher.
Right. It used to be... For small publishers, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's
for
great.
For Marvel and DC, I don't think necessarily.
If you download up BitTorrent and issue a Green Lantern, Geoff Johns sees no dollar from that.
No, I understand that.
Right.
I'm just saying I don't think it's going to be... I don't think you're going to find Marvel and DC suddenly putting digital comics out there if the print one totally goes away for a buck or something, unless all of a sudden a lot more people start getting interested in digital comics than are interested in print comics.
At the end of the day, Marvel's a public company, and all they want to do is make money for their shareholders.
That's right. Yeah.
So if I want to spend money in digital, like they've done, they put up Digital Comics Unlimited, they'll if we're screaming for digital like comics on the iPhone or something like that, they'll do it because we'll make them money.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying that I don't think that they're going to supplant it. You know, right now they're doing comics on a limited scale in that medium, but if they don't have it, it's like, you know, if they produced it already and they have the art, they can put it digital relatively easily.
But they're not going to go just
new
digital.
New content exclusively for digital would not be substantially cheaper than new material for print from a major publisher.
Remember when I said we were all friends?
Yeah.
All right, enough about the industry.
Yeah. Any other questions?
We had some more hands up there. Right here in the front.
What would possibly drive you to record your conversations about comic books and put them on the web correctly?
Incredibly self-centered.
Because I'm awesome.
Yeah. We love hearing the sounds of our own voice,
really.
Met
me?
We're very insecure.
Just wake up one morning and...
Yeah, kind of.
When I wake up, I go straight to the mirror. There you are. I missed you. Well, explains it.
We have no friends in real life.
Exactly.
Well, I know that I started off in college radio, and I had a college radio show that I basically decided to turn into a podcast, and then from there, eventually I was like, all right, I'm talking all this, you know, geek stuff, this technology stuff. How about I talk about comics? And then, you know, that's how Comic Timing really started, and it sort of evolved from that. So for me, it was already an interest in audio, which eventually evolved into, you know, the podcasting medium. But I know that there's plenty of guys on here that basically just, you know, basically did just wake up one day and be like, hey, wow, this is awesome.
Let's like Charlie and I, we have an acting background. We used to be, you know, actors and did all that stuff. So it's just sort of a natural extension of, like, you know, our egos, I guess. Yes. I know, but I mean, it's entertainment. We clearly enjoy entertaining because we were actors for years. And hopefully we do. You know, we put out a show that is entertaining. We both, our shows, we try to do not just straight-on interviews or talk about stuff. We always do silly little sketches and songs and, you know, people either love or hate them. But it's like, you know, we try to entertain, basically.
Totally. And we saw this as a new medium. I think we all came right at the time where we saw, wow, this is a cool new technology. And we had this love of comics that we just wanted to share along with our egos.
Yes. And for me, CGS is already a year and a half old when I came on the show, so they were already established. They got in it for their reasons. I just happened to sort of sneak in under radar and just flashed on and won't let go.
Yeah. And the ladies I get from this? Woo!
Man.
What?
Nothing like a con chick.
That's right. Take it easy.
Oh, you're right there?
Yes. Once you have good production values and provide that you're creating an interesting product, how do you get other people to listen to you?
I scream really loud.
Yeah.
And how do you get greater numbers?
One thing, just go to conventions.
Yeah.
Meet your listeners. Mm-hmm. I think, like, 2005, when CGS started, they had a CD made of their first 25 shows and handed out to people they meet at the con. Just not even set up, just walking around the con. Since then, we've been to a few cons having a booth and... Let's just come and meet us, or folks come and just walk by and, oh, hey, what's this? And that's one way to do it. Other ways are, you know, going on iTunes or like we have a forum, you know, posting things on the forums, getting more listeners, that kind of thing.
It also helps, like, a lot of the people in the industry. Like, I remember the day Bendis, you know, called you guys out and my fanboy out, like, you listen to them, and your numbers are, like, you know, tripled the next day, you know, which always helps. Bastards. And, you know, but I mean, you know, it is a help to have, like, you know, when you have people on and then they talk about it on their blog or talk about it on their show or in their comic or whatever. So, you know, it's just word of mouth and people just talk about it. And that's really how you do it. We certainly, everybody prints flyers or we pass things out. We do little marketing things. But for the most part, it's just like, hey, you heard about this? No. Or one guest or one comic you're talking about or one whatever you're talking about might bring someone in. And because of that, they'll stay on. Like, you know what, I don't really follow, we get this a lot, where, like, I don't really follow comics, but when you have some of the TV movie folks you have on, it's interesting to me, so I still listen because it sort of gives me that comic book thing I never really had. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. I mean, like, ultimately, do a good show. Like, be, like Jimmy's saying, it's somewhat entertaining. It's somewhat, you know. I've heard from people who listen to our show who aren't into comics at all, but they just like to hear us talk.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind. But, like, but there's a lot of people who sit in an office and they just blow through podcasts.
People have long drives to and fro, you know, work.
Right. Commute. Also, you know, materials like Jimmy said, postcards, it's always good for shows like this or taking them to your comic store or even another store, whatever, you know, wherever, you know, community little places, even those. You're not going to get a ton of listeners, but you might get a few and they may tell other people.
And they tell each other. I mean, people will tell, you know, like everyone here, you know, everyone who didn't get a free comic, get a free comic. And what did I do? I put this shameless plug inside the cover of that comic.
Yes.
Talks about, and that's what we do. You know, we go to shows. We've done CDs at some of the smaller shows. San Diego's kind of big, but at WonderCon, PhoenixCon, we did some CDs with episodes. You know, just we do cross promotion with other podcasts.
Yeah,
we do our preview show.
Too,
we get other podcasts. We'll have anywhere between 7 and 13 other podcasts come onto that show and talk about comics. And that way, if all the different podcasts can kind of go to one place, then maybe someone will hear somebody and they'll want to go and check out that other show.
I buy a lot of strippers and blow for people.
Woo. It's true. Hang out with them.
Yeah.
All right. So we got 10-minute warning. So
10-minute warning.
Any other questions right here?
Well, Ron, this is more of a question for Josh, but...
Well, he's right back there. He's
there. Josh,
not
Josh Flanagan, everybody. Josh,
he's not on the
how far will this mic stretch? I'll take it to him.
Get the hose that we need, not the one we
need. Oh!
Damn.
Whoa.
That hurt me.
Does anyone else have any other questions?
Yes, who's next? Right here. Yes. Right here.
Oh, all right. This is more a situation where I have a bare bones show podcast.
Right. Just quit. It's done.
How important do you consider the website content for articles and reviews and all that? The non-audio.
I think it's going there. Sites like iFanboy have great website content. Comic Related has amazing website content.
Yeah.
Geek Syndicate started a new thing with great website content. That's something I've wanted to do, and we don't have much of it, and I keep wanting to do it. But I think it can certainly help, because people might just go to read and like, oh, you have a podcast? Great. You know, and check it out. So I think it's something important. Like, and this is something I don't even do, and I should. So
the site content helps because this is kind of internet marketing kind of thing. But people are searching for Green Lantern, they're searching for Superman. If you write an article about Superman, someone might find it, and then that's an entry point in. So it's just increasing ways for you to get noticed, basically.
Now, Ron, do you guys do all your site content? Because like Phil and I don't know how we'd have time to do that.
Well, for the first six years we did, and then the past year and a half, we kind of expanded and we invited some of our friends to write. Cool. And we've got some other regular writers who are honestly way better writers than me and Josh and Connor. I mean, like, we're on a weekly basis. On
that's why it got better.
So it's great that it's really great that we're able to and Connor. I said Connor.
No, they are better than us.
They are better than us. So
I actually don't have time to write for ours, but can I write for yours?
Sure, yeah. That'd be great, actually.
Well, that's what Geek Syndicate did. They put a call to their listeners, and a lot of their listeners are doing little columns. I think that's great.
That's a great way, too.
Yeah. And that's something that we added. We added the ability for users to come and write reviews of the comics that they come out. So like, so not only do we have what our written content, but we've got what the users think. So people come and, you know, there are, you know, 30 reviews of Green Lantern, you know, Blackest Night number one, and it's just cool to see all these people writing about it. So.
And plus, it's a lot easier these days than it used to be to actually just get a website up and running. I mean, basically, you know, you find a good host that is really out there for you. You put WordPress on it. You find a theme that works. Bing, bang, boom, you got yourself a website. And as long as it's really an appealing, like, design, then I think that's another great way to really drive people in, because if it's just like one word of text,
don't have a bunch of pictures of yourself on there.
Oh, look out! But yeah, I mean, like, if it's just that like white background with a black bar of text, no one's really going to want to look at that. You know,
I think what we all realize that we're saying is like anyone can do a podcast,
right?
Your website, that's obvious, but to make it entertaining and to make it where you want people to listen, you have to put some effort into it. And I think we all do. And whether you find some of this entertaining or annoying, that's your problem. But, you know, I just think you have to put a little work into it. If you just kind of throw something up on occasion, you know, you're not going to find an audience, I don't think.
Yeah.
Should we do one more?
Next question.
Who did you have? You were looking at someone over here. I don't know.
Well, no.
It's right over here.
Yeah, we had our first podcast panel in San Diego about 3 years ago. Many of you were on that panel or been on the panel since. Where do you think the State of the Union of podcasting and comics is now compared to then? Then it seemed like everyone was very optimistic that there's room for tremendous growth. Where do you think that is now? Do you think the audience really is growing, or do you think everyone here is doing their own podcast?
Yeah, I think everyone in this audience has a podcast, I think. But
I think it is still growing, believe it or not. I think there's a lot of untapped listeners, a ton of untapped listeners. I mean, we still, our numbers still aren't jumping. I mean, we've kind of leveled out, but we still get new emails all the time saying, I just found you. Yeah. I can't believe it. You have 100 and whatever, you know, episodes or whatever. Yeah. So
we just reached 1 million a week, which is...
And the number of podcasts has gone insane, right?
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, you go to iTunes.com, folks, and it's over, like, 200.
Two-something, 300, yeah.
So, I mean, which is great, which is, you know, like, I think I'm a big fan of people doing it themselves and getting out there doing it, so go for it, you know, but, you know, that's...
But, again,
said,
make them entertaining, because they're not all good.
Well, I think it's...
I mean, they can't be, you know, it's just you know, statistics.
Have something that's going to draw the listeners in, and it can either be, you know, through the personality of the host, which is always going to, you know, people are either going to like listening to someone or not.
Yeah. Or love
but also,
hate.
You know, finding a niche so that you don't blend in with every other podcast.
Yeah.
You know, it's
right.
Like there are so many podcasts out there. A lot of them do have kind of a unique voice or a unique focus to them. And you try to find something like that you like doing that's going to appeal to an audience, too.
Yeah. Next question.
Right here, this guy who's been waving his hand. Yeah.
I was just wondering if you guys found that your format for your podcast has ever like bugged you. Like, for example, some of you guys do only new stuff, and then you come across a book that's been out for a long time. You want to do something, but you're like, well, I gotta separate this podcast, can't be the same episode. Or
right.
For example, you do all new stuff, but then the new stuff's kind of like. It's the big stuff, like a DC book that you.
Are you talking about my show, sir?
Interesting, you know, if you're interested in like a big book and you want to talk about some older stuff, you know, has it ever worked against you in a way?
Well, I mean, we are called Comic News Insider. I didn't name it. My co-host did. Because of our name, I felt we had to create a certain format because of it. And we do follow a format, but we're pretty free-flowing about it. And what we started doing is doing extra shows and special shows to deal with, you know, we started this whole thing called Versus, where we take, you know, the same idea in different genres and talk about that, or we'll do a special show about, you know, a series of books or a TV show or, you know, a movie, and we'll do that. So, I mean, there's ways around it, you know?
You know, we did the same thing. You know, we have weekly comic spotlight where we review things, but then we also have back issue spotlight where we'll talk about, you know, some back issue arc, or we'll talk about, you know, super fan spotlight where we talk, you know, with somebody else. It's all on the same comic book page feed, but you kind of just differentiate them out so that you can kind of keep to a format for each type.
And the great thing is that we're our own bosses. So if we want to do something different, so like, you know, like, so we have a pretty regimented schedule to our audio, our format to our audio show, where we talk about the pick of the week, and we talk about the books that came out, then we do email, then we do voicemail, and we're out. But, you know, we're like, we want to talk about movies, so we just did another podcast about movies.
Yeah.
We want to talk about, like, a graphic novel or a book, so we rolled out Booksplode, and we want to talk to, you know, do interviews, audio, we do it on the video, but let's do the audio, so we introduce Talksplode, and you know, if you want to do something, you're free to do it.
Kind of what Bob was saying earlier about, you know, personalities, we used to go right open to, hey, welcome to the show, write your reviews. And then one day we started talking about just stuff going on with us, and people really seemed to be interested, you know, in what happened with us.
So
we open the show now. We do a little banter about just what's going on in our lives that week, and people seem interested sometimes. Sometimes they're not, but, you know, so I think that has a lot to do with it, where people are interested in what the hosts are doing in their lives and in their, you know, their opinions. So.
Yeah. I think what's great about a rotating discussion podcast is that, like, there's always somebody out there, I find, willing to talk about something. So, like, even if I have, like, the weirdest, like, topic idea, I'll post something and I'll get at least one of my listeners going, like, I've got Skype, get me on. And that's what's so fun about the medium, really, is that there's always going to be somebody willing to talk about something, even if it's, like, the most oddest thing in the world.
And we've got so many hosts at CGS that we just make our own shows to talk about our own topics. Like, you know, I've got a toy podcast and Brian has a Bayday podcast. So we just spin off and talk, do our own thing, separate from the proper comic geek thing.
All right, one last question.
One last.
It's going to be awesome.
Make awesome. An awesome question.
I've been listening to iFanboy for a couple of years now. I'm sorry if my voice is blown out. How do you guys supplement all the money you guys spent on comic books and all this media?
We're rich.
The downloads, you know, like a lot of times when I listen to your podcast, I think I've downloaded some of your podcasts two or three times. I'm like, shit, this is costing me money.
Well, we have an iFanboy membership program where if you go to iFanboy.com, you can sign up, and for $4 a month or $42 a year, we will send you stickers, buttons, and a comic from our collection.
Yes.
For $10 a month or $100 a year, we'll send you all that plus a t-shirt, like the guy right there. Stand up, show them the t-shirt, right? No, but thank you.
Just throw my mouth.
No, that's it.
Thank you, Reginald.
We're also sponsorship as well. Sponsorships as well. Dynamic Forces sponsors us. I know, like, GeekSpeak gets, you know, tons of sponsors you guys have, you know, throughout all the time. So it helps getting sponsorship. You know, they throw a little cash or they pay for something or whatever. And
Getting a sponsor that's willing to give you some more money that you can get into comics is also a good thing. But most specifically, finding a web host that has like unlimited bandwidth and unlimited hosting is also a good thing.
That's key.
Here's the trick. How many people want to do a podcast here?
Okay.
Give it
that's
up.
A lot different.
We got it, all right.
4 years ago, we did that question. It was like everyone.
All right. Well, you go to libsyn.org.
Yes.
That's where you host your audio podcast. You know, go to WordPress for your site. Go to Feedburner for your stats. And majority
or Squarespace or TypePad.
Squarespace.com/iFanboy. And, you know, and it's, you could do your own website and podcast for less than $20 a month. So,
yeah. But sponsorship does help so much in the sense of getting to travel, or you know, maybe you want to purchase you know, tech stuff. That can get so expensive. You know, our anthologies have been hugely helpful because they allowed us to buy a lot of good tech equipment and things like that as well. So
that's how I afford the strippers.
What?
All right. Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
Cool. Well, thanks everybody for coming. Please.
Thank you. Thanks for the whiskey, Jimmy. That whiskey was delish.
I was talking about. That was medicine.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.
And that is that. That is indeed the All-Stars of Comic Book Podcasting panel that was conducted at this year's San Diego Comic-Con 2009. Once again, I want to thank John Mayo of Comic Book Page for letting me use his audio of the panel. You can listen to him and Bob every single week with a bunch of different podcasts over at comicbookpage.com. That's comicbookpage.com. Tripped over my words a little bit there, didn't I? Also, big thanks to Ron of iFanboy at ifanboy.com, Jimmy Aquino of Comic News Insider, comicnewsinsider.com, Charlito of Indie Spinner Rack, indiespinnerrack.com, and of course, Pants himself, Brian Christman of ComicGeekSpeak.com, for being a part of the panel, and Bob, obviously, of Comic Book Page. One more time, it was a lot of fun talking to everybody, and I hope to be there again in 2010. Fingers crossed already. And not really much else to talk about here. As I mentioned, episode 93 will hopefully be out in about another day or two. That's a Review Corner episode that Brent and I recorded last week before I headed out. The San Diego Comic-Con wrap-up will hopefully be out in the next week after that. And since that is all that, I will lead you out with the ending. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com, graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And we're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts. Check it out over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. It really, really helps out the show. And for anybody who picked up the show at San Diego Comic-Con, what better way to let me know that you're listening than by sending a review to let me know what you think. And sending emails and audio comments and all that other jazz helps too. My Skype name is Scary Monkey Show. You can send voicemails that way, or you can always, you know, tweet me over at i_m_sci-fi. Yeah, the list goes on and on. I'm basically talking out my butt right now. So let's end this period. Once again, thanks to everybody. And as always, there's always time for comics.